This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. The goal on here is to make listeners aware of interesting companies, smart people, and new technology developments, all of them meaningful in making digital signage projects happen. I try to help listeners understand sometimes complicated subjects and why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but things happen now and then. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 69 has been around since 2006, and the publication and podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which provides customer engagement solutions for business. You can find them at spectrio.com. I spoke recently with a consulting firm that was looking at the outdoor LED space and trying to wrap its collective heads around who the LED leaders were in North America. They rattled off a bunch of vendor names, but they didn't mention SNA displays. I sorted them out on that, noting how the company is a significant player and how they're a rare Chinese LED manufacturer that's doing a great job of building up a presence and business in the US market. SNA is interesting for a whole bunch of reasons. The name is short for Sansi North America, with the parent firm being back in Shanghai. But SNA seems to run very much as a US company, with full offices and support systems over here, as well as marketing developed and managed on this side of the Pacific. The difference is not subtle, as I get a lot of marketing stuff from China-based vendors that just won't resonate over here and probably in Europe and elsewhere. SNA is also interesting because it doesn't just manufacture and sell indoor and outdoor LED displays. It becomes a direct partner on projects, helping finance projects that might otherwise remain just ideas. I had a great chat with Dennis Hickey, who runs SNA and the related company that does financing, Infuse Digital. Dennis, thank you for joining me. Where are you today?
I'm actually working from home. But here in New Jersey, right outside of New York in Short Hills, New Jersey.
Oh, okay. Wanted to talk about a couple things today. First of all, could you tell me about Infuse Digital, which is the newer of the two companies that you run? I know they're related.
Yes, thank you. Infuse Digital came about from the SNA displays side as a company that wanted to hold hands for clients that were interested in LED products or digital products, LCDs, kiosks, et cetera, and clients just didn't understand the process. And so where it came was from the fact that SNA Displays was bidding multiple projects through multiple clients. It always seemed to be a price war. And if we didn't have intelligent, digital consultants involved in the project, it usually just came down to price. And unfortunately, based off the fact that we have 2,500 employees and 2.5 million square feet of manufacturing, our prices are usually tied to maybe some of the smaller folks. So we decided that we wanted to hold hands with these clients, help these clients. We wanted to make sure the clients were getting the best product, the best solution that will have the most return on investment. And so we told the clients that essentially we would be the investor. And we would put up the funds and the financing, and then we would hold their hands in doing the out-of-home advertising and the sponsorship revenue that could be generated from these. Not selling the advertising or the sponsorship ourselves, but utilizing some of our partnerships to bring them to the project. So that was kind of the spearhead to everything here.
So that's pretty wildly different from what most LED manufacturers do.
Yes. So obviously that's always been our case. You know, we are probably number one in boutique product. I mean, making the human head once, and obviously our custom fabrication for the major spectaculars on the SNA side. So we needed to think out of the box more. And in thinking outside the box, we know there's clients, and we know clients will Google this or see that, or maybe see a post, maybe read an article on one of your articles and say, I want that. But they have no idea what the cost is associated with that. They really need their hands held more. And so that's where the concept of Infuse came from.
So is the core part of it, the financing end, or is it the whole kind of turnkey, we'll take this from start to finish with you?
It actually is always going to involve some form of financial abilities. I mean, if you can provide your own finance, if you can build it yourself, you're probably going to want to maximize the return on that particular investment. But there are a lot of clients out there, take 555 and an American Dream,
yep,
that are more inclined to, hey, we know how to build this great mall and entertainment venue. We have a ski slope. We have a theme park. We don't really understand the digital environment. And they came and they brought us on to handle that for the next 20 years. We also gave them 40,000 square feet of digital product as a result, and then maximize the return on investment, according to that, where they can make money through name sponsorships, or they can make money through the at-home advertising with one of our partners. So they got everything at once. However, on the flip side, you could have a building in Times Square, that is one of the developers in Times Square has a property, and they have plenty of money, and they know what the at-home revenue is going to be generated there, and they're going to buy the product themselves. Mm-hmm. Those folks will come directly to SNA, versus the other folks that want some assistance will come to our sister company, Infuse.
Okay. So are you effectively providing a lease on the equipment?
Actually, what we're trying to do is we're actually providing the ownership of the equipment and actually a tenant of that asset, right? So we own the assets. We advertise and we sponsorship off of those assets. We maintain those assets for the life of the assets. If it's an LCD kiosk, for instance, we will replace those through the course of the 10, 15, 20 year contract we have. If it's an LED, it's obviously replaced probably in and around 10 years, to reinstall what's the latest and greatest. The other cool part is we know the industry. We know the industry in and out. So we're giving our clients the tightest resolution pitch, the highest resolution displays, because we want to keep them relevant because we're making money off of the advertising and sponsorship as a result.
So they're not going to, if they're looking at a project and you're recommending P6 because it's Times Square, and they're going, well, we only have budget for P10 or whatever, they don't have to compromise on that. They can use what's best if they're working with you.
Yeah, perfectly said. And yeah, you'll see, for instance, we're finishing a project in Times Square that's a 6.67 millimeter pitch. And that's probably going to be the latest and greatest. A lot of clients will have already put up their 10 millimeter and then look at their neighbor and go, ooh, I wanted that. We're thinking ahead of that because, again, we could do everything at cost. So it does give us a slight advantage on that because we are the manufacturer of the product. So, yes, that is essentially what it is. Yep.
Are you, in certain respects, disintermediating the integrators, the guys who would be doing the installation, maybe doing some of the managed services, or is there still a running partnership there?
Absolutely running partnership. We do have a preferred dealer program. We do highly respect our preferred dealers. We do not ever want to step on their toes, and we never will step on their toes. This is kind of more of a developer standpoint. Mm-hmm. We're at high-end development, maybe not necessarily sports, but venues right outside of sports. Case in point, as I mentioned before, American Dream is right outside of MetLife Stadium.
Right.
So we're there, and they were looking for a partner to take everything on. However, Diversified is part of American Dream, and we built some of the product for Diversified there. We did not step on their toes in any means. Ours is purely advertising and sponsorship revenue elements that does not fall in their role.
Right. So when it comes to some of the turnkey things like managed services and so on, is that something you're doing internally through Infuse, or is that kind of then subbed out to the Diversifieds and companies like that?
Actually, we have our own in-house, folks that do our own service on our own product. But so we do maintain our product on this particular project itself. But we've always blended in those regards. When we do a diversified project, they still may need our systems division to assist with some of the stuff, because remember the products are proprietary. Proprietary, we know the ins and outs and upside downs of them. So we kind of work together in unison.
How long has Infuse been around?
Infuse was established in 2017. We actually started the company as Sansi Development Group. We changed the name to Infuse to be a little bit more distinctive and kind of push the envelope with everybody about what it is. It's time to infuse some more digital platforms into your landscape, make it more relevant. It's great to do statics and where statics are permutable, but sometimes digital will take it further. And so that's kind of where we infuse some digital in your platform.
What's been the take up on it? Or do you have a lot of your clients going down that path now?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
What's been the adoption rate for Infuse with the clients who you work with and who you target? Are most kind of saying, this is great, I want to do this? Or are a lot of particularly the property developers saying, no, we've got the money, thanks, but we're good?
It works in twofold. Obviously, we're getting direct leads for folks that have found us and interested in doing business. But it actually kind of comes from the fact that SNA may have a project that has been sitting in our possibility category for a while. And the client goes, I'm going to put it off to next year's budget, or I'm going to put it off to next quarter's budget. And they just can't make it financially meet. Obviously, with the pandemic, that actually grew even bigger, where clients were like, well, I'm a little nervous now because, tourism was down for a while, et cetera. We have the confidence that everything's coming back. So we said to the client, would you be interested if we took the role? And it's taken some clients over the edge. Some clients are still excited about building it themselves and want to maximize the dollars for it. We made an offer in Times Square to somebody to do an infused deal. And they said, no, we're comfortable in doing it ourselves, and we're going to do it when the timing's right. And we accepted. But there are folks that are just like, I really want to build it. I really want to get started. And, with the pandemic, you may be our only paying tenant. And so we then took that role and took it over the ledge.
So I guess this enforces even more of a business discipline on you guys as well. If somebody in Times Square says we want to put up a big spectacular, it's not that tough of a decision to make. But if somebody in, let's say, downtown Omaha, Nebraska, wants to put up a big spectacular, you've got to make some decisions around, if we finance this, is the money there to make this feasible?
And perfectly said. And I could give you an example of Margaritaville in Orlando, which is right outside of Animal Kingdom, Disney's Animal Kingdom. And Margaritaville, what they did is they came to us. They were kind of on the fence about what direction they wanted to go to. And we talked about, hey, maybe we invest it. But we did a shared partnership investment where we both had skin in the game, essentially, to make the deal happen. And the person that put the most skin in the game will get the most return on investment initially. But again, it's the client's property. So in the end, they will reap the firm benefit. But yeah, it works. And it varies per location. It may be a situation where we can do an evaluation. We can say, unfortunately, we love your concept. We love everything you do. It's not necessarily going to work for us here, but we'll make a form of investment in, 10, 15, 20%, maybe 50. We can see, or maybe we know and we can really make a stronghold against some other things, and we'll take the 100% investment path. It will vary per project location.
Right. You're not in a position like, some tech giants like the Ciscos of the past who would pretty much buy a stadium deal just because they're going to get other things out of it.
Well, perfectly said too. Yeah, we can't. Cisco can be more business to business, but you could have other manufacturers that have consumer products, and you know, by marketing their name, by putting their name under, they might get the attention of somebody that's attended that sporting venue or that entertainment venue that says, "Oh, I see that name. I'm going to buy a product at Best Buy that has the same name." That doesn't really work for us. For what our standpoint is, we know what should generate revenue-wise on those screens. Our partners in the at-home world will tell us, and we live by that. Mm-hmm. So because of that, we can say to the client, here's what you could make. You could make X dollars per this. If you don't believe me, we'll put up the money and show you.
So we're not going to see naming rights on a NFL stadium anytime soon with an SNA Display Stadium on there?
No, but we just landed a major NFL stadium recently.
Oh, nice.
I'll name it at another time. But no, you won't. It doesn't. It really doesn't do us any benefit. If you saw SNA displays on a display, they say, what do they make? And you look us up and we have a fantastic website. But they go, what does that have to do with me? I'm not putting a $5 million LED in my kitchen. So It's not really going to work.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
SNA is an interesting company in that your manufacturer, it's a Chinese manufacturer, but this is the North American entity of it. So Sansi North America, correct?
That is correct. So yeah, we have Shanghai Sansi Technologies and Sansi North America. There's been a partnership for many years where we took control of Sansi North America with all dynamic digital displays, direct view. It dates back. I came from the sign world and lived in the sign world prior to joining a company based out of Plano, Texas, where Jason Helton, who works with us, worked out of, and he was buying from a company, Shanghai Sansi. We struck a deal with Shanghai Sansi to represent their product here in the United States to cover North America. However, we landed some big name brands, and those big name brands are international, and we cover those as well too. It's been a great long relationship with Shanghai Sansi. We do things ranging prior to the pandemic where we did factory acceptance tests. We take people to tour the factory, as I mentioned, the 2.5 million square feet of manufacturing that occurs there. We show everybody in the ins and outs and show them around the Shanghai area and maybe other areas too, and make a fun trip out of it. So we've been doing it for a while. It's a great relationship, and our exclusivity with Shanghai Sansi is very strong.
The larger Chinese LED manufacturers, the Layards and Unilumens and Absens and so on, they don't really have a distinct North American entity. It's like a U.S. office of, but you guys have made what seems like a very concerted effort to, I wouldn't say distance yourself from the parent company, but you're your own thing with your own marketing, your own website, everything else. You're not just piggybacking on what's coming from Shenzhen or Beijing or Shanghai or whatever. Why is that?
Great point, and thank you. The reason is there's a very distinctive marketing value between China and United States. In meeting Shanghai Sansi, they know that. They say that their expertise lives in the product manufacturing. They want to stay ahead of the curve in the product side. And our team wants to help manage the process. So we have SNA pros that are certified licensed engineers and architects. So we want to manage the construction side of it. So we're giving everybody turnkey. And we also want to have the U.S. marketing presence. U.S. marketing is very different. So you mentioned folks like the Layards out there. They do a lot of interior. You name some others. They do a lot of exterior. And we do all. And mm-hmm. we do all in-house. And so we want to leave Shanghai Sanxi focused on the latest and greatest product. Remember, we were the first to the United States with a 1.25 millimeter. We did it for a stadium in Washington, D.C. So we want to maintain that. And they stay. We have a good lane of workmanship together. They stay in their lane and focus on the product. We stay in our lane and focus on the marketing as well as the construction part to making sure our clients have somewhere to call. We call it 24-hour service, right? Mm. So when we go to sleep, they're still working. So you get 24-hour response continuous. We created our own app to follow your projects from start to finish as well. So you can use the SNA app to know what's being manufactured. Not just when it arrives in the United States, it's being manufactured day one. So mm-hmm. you can see what's going on overseas while you started work with us. So it's been a good process. Responsiveness and delivery and service. We know all the functionalities of the displays. We have a good team to stand behind it. To be an SNA Pro, you have to be certified in a category. So these are licensed engineers, licensed architects, or they have had an extensive amount of time working in the field, whether through service, et cetera, on a particular product, and they become certified as SNA Pros. These are is the core to our business. You know, the SNA response time is, we call it a no excuse response, right? So that's why we have the app. We want you to follow your project on the SNA app from start to finish, from day one, and then throughout. We want you to know how much inventory you have. We want you to know everything through that process when you do business with us. And it starts with our SNA Pros. They know everything. So it's a no excuse because, you know, they might be a licensed electrician or they might be an electrical engineer. So they're going to get you the immediate answer. And we're going to tell you rapidly. You don't have to wait a few days to hear something from overseas. You can hear right away. Make the phone call.
And I assume that makes a big difference with the integrators and the specialty consultants and those kinds of folks out there, because, you know, one of the issues with some of the tier two manufacturers coming out of China is they may have what's pretty great product, but if there's a problem, you know, the support is 12 hours away and it may or may not be in a language that both ends speak.
Exactly. Perfectly said. And, you know, it all comes down to costs, right? You know, any downtime is down on return on investment.
And we can't, especially on a media display.
Exactly. So, you know, but even if it's a lobby, right? If it's a lobby and it's a back screen, you're giving information to, you know, potential folks coming to work every day. And if that screen's down, it takes away from the look and the aesthetics of that big expensive building that you just built, right? We can't have that excuse. And the good news is, you know, our diagnostic software is actually included. It's free and it exists. Our app is free. You can follow your project start to finish free. So we want you to always know through transparency the health of your display. And we always want you to have an immediate and absolute response.
The profile of the buyer for indoor and outdoor LED seems to have evolved over the years. What really struck me was sometime last year, you guys put out a case study, and it was a sports bar with a fine pitch direct view LED over a portion of the bar across from Lambeau Field in Green Bay. And I thought, okay, this is one of these cases where there's clear evidence LED is now a mainstream product. It's no longer this high-end thing that only goes in, you know, very deep-pocketed kinds of venues.
Perfectly said. Obviously, the market has evolved. You know, in 1997, when the blue diode was invented, made LED obviously way more expensive. But over time and over manufacturing, and the costs have come down. To some degree, it's still more expensive, but the cost of the LED coming down, and then the fight over longevity, brightness, uniformity, and seamlessness has really taken the LED to another level, which is why you have interests from major corporations that used to focus on purely LCD. They're in because they know this is the future, and the future has really taken off. It's still more expensive. We like to say that, you know, if you're going to put up three LCDs by high by three LCDs wide, you're probably better off doing LED. But until you get there, it's slightly more expensive. So you have to think long term. You forget the CapEx, think long term. And that tends to work. But we also know this. I mean, Lambeau Field is going to be sold out every time. Where else can you go have fun and watch the game? It's great on your couch watching the game. Of course it is. But it's actually more fun with a group of people in a bar right outside of Lambeau Stadium. I couldn't get tickets, but I kind of got tickets outside the stadium. So that was definitely a fun project.
And are you generally seeing the profile change where it's not just these big spectacular installations inside and out, but that you're getting things like the sports bar, or was that more of an anomaly?
No, absolutely. It's all coming to fruition. I mean, you know, you got to thank God to Google and other search engines where you can see what our neighbors are doing. But it's definitely moving. I mean, you get a significant brightness difference. You get a longevity difference. You get an operating difference as well as a bezel difference, a more purity of screens. It is definitely gravitating towards that. It will gravitate towards that. Like I said, those big companies see it on the line. That's why they joined. They joined the competition. You know, we've been doing it for, you know, Shanghai Sansi since 1993, and they just started joining. So you can see the evolution on that.
If you're looking at stuff coming out of CES this week and just generally in display technology, there's all kinds of ongoing discussion and product launches around mini LED and micro LED, and you know whether it's actually micro or not, I guess, is another debate. But is that stuff more marketing noise, or is it really where this stuff is going? Because I don't think you guys do that. You're still SMD based, right?
Well, yes, we're more SMD based, but we're always researching the latest and greatest. Everybody, it's a rush to the latest and greatest. And so in the exterior market, folks like to talk about my brightness level is such this in nits. And it's always a very extreme high number. And we always joke about that. We say we can give it 10 times that, but we kill the life expectancy of your display.
And your power bills go through the roof.
Yeah. So it is more of a marketing ploy of being different, right? And what we see is, first and foremost, you take something simple as an Achia diode. Shanghai Sansi was getting 6 months advance release on the diode to test it, to qualify it, to make a better product. And Achia might set the spec on what that product is and so on and so forth. And it's not just Achia. I just use that loosely here. Mm-hmm. It could be anything.
Epistar, whoever.
Yeah. And so what we do is you follow those specs, but everybody wants to be more distinctive. And Sansi North America and Shanghai Sansi, we don't necessarily need that market distinction. We want something a little bit better, delivering the product, making sure the product is reliable, being, like I said, with the no excuse policy, turnkey. Who do I call when I have an issue or a question? How do I get a response, and how quick can I get a response? That, I think, is more distinguished group. We'll get the new company to pop up and say, mine's flexible or something like that. Well, that works on 2% of the industry. So that's great.
That's nice.
2%, right? We're going to focus on what the most or the far majority need. Mm-hmm. The far majority need a qualified, reliable product with a reliable company stand behind it. And that's really what it is.
With that technology, the SMD stuff that you're primarily using, is it now matured, or are there still advances that can be made that if we could just get this or get it to do that, then we'd be at kind of a nirvana state with it.
I think it's just perfecting it and further perfecting it, right? To get it better and better, and obviously always to get the cost down lower, right? I don't think there is anything more in lines with that. And it's just my opinion. Jason Helton on our team is probably even better to answer that question. Mm-hmm. But from my standpoint is getting it the most reliable, the best view, the best color uniformity, the best view angles, and starting to maximize those directions. That is really what it is. And we've been guinea pigs before, a new car to the market, you might want to be a guinea pig. There's pros and cons to that. I like to take the road of what's established and what's developed and just to make sure it's perfect. And then, let the human eye do the rest.
Is SNA doing anything with the, transparent mesh LEDs that are starting to clad entire buildings in China and things like window film LED?
Yes, we have several we've done. We have mm-hmm. one in Shanghai Sanxi. They just shared it recently as well. We've had it. We've called that product since 2009 through media. So it's actually existed here in the United States for over 13 years. And it's evolved.
It didn't look very good for a long time.
Yeah, it definitely did. Everything becomes a little bit thinner, mm-hmm. a little bit more transparent, but we do have product on it. Like I said, we can make anything. Keep in mind that Shanghai Sanxi makes LED, LED lighting products. The bridge between Macau and Hong Kong, all that lighting is Shanghai Sanxi product. So we have the team to pretty much do anything that is designed and developed and in concept. It's just, there's not a lot of them, there's permit restrictions in some cases, in some areas. Right. But it exists and it's pretty easy to make. And like I said, we've had a version in 2009 and here we are, now 2022, it's definitely much different, but we've been doing it for many years.
What's going to be the big news for you guys this year?
I actually think us getting into sports, watch out. I think our entrance into sports changed the whole platform. We haven't really been in. We always joked we've been outside the bowl, but never in the bowl. And we're about to take a presence in a bowl. A very distinctive team. Hopefully, at some point we can announce it. But I think our competition knows what it is. So maybe they'll announce it for us. There's several more. So sports is big. I think Infuse really helps our clients get over the hump. Mm-hmm. They want it. I can't afford it. Or they want it. They're unsure. And I think that gets us over the hump as well. And I think SNA does what they do best, continue to help the client from start to finish, being transparent and open. From start to finish, that's really our game. And, we stay in their budget. There is no change orders. We finish the project on time, which they want. There's no excuses. And I think with all of that, you're going to see some big dynamic things in Las Vegas, in, of course, in Times Square, where, we have a bulk of the market share there as well. Mm-hmm. You're going to see some big distinct things in some of the major cities. Like we just recently did with AT&T in Dallas. You're going to see the same.
Right. Yeah. And that's a beautiful project there.
Thank you.
One day I'll be able to travel again and see those things.
I think we can. Hopefully I'm praying the latest and greatest of this pandemic is now an endemic.
Yes.
Let's hope it's right. And we all get by and if you're vaccinated and boosted and you probably have it, at some point hopefully we can all move on. And I think we are. You're going to mm-hmm. clearly see that.
All right, Dennis, been a pleasure to spend some time with you. Thank you.
I appreciate everything. Thank you for everything.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and maybe you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 69, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the archive and find hundreds of conversations with smart industry people. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9 at 16-9.net. You'll find more than 8,000 posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. 69 is not a press release republishing mill like a lot of the stuff out there. If something makes it on 69, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 69 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and the key one here is ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. Check out all the curated and automated content available at screenfeed.com. 69, the blog, and the podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which does customer engagement solutions, most of that digital signage, for all kinds of businesses. You'll find them in the Tampa area and online at Spectrio. That's spectrio.com. You'll find me working out of a sunny back room in my house located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.